Welcome to the Free and Open Source Software Podcast Series, featuring presentations from the Philosophy Tea Conference at Lake Morion Resort.
This year's podcasts were recorded and produced by Tech Savvy Kids from St. Albans, Vermont. This episode features Carolyn Meeks and Walter Bender talking about sugar on a stick.
Hope you enjoy it!
So, just a little bit of background. Sugar Labs is a member project of something called the Software Freedom Conservancy, which is sort of an umbrella organization for free software projects around the world. It was started by Eben Moglen, who runs the Software Law Association. He's Richard Stallman's lawyer. He wrote the GPL. He's a hero. But anyway, so I guess have to give a tip of the hat to the FSC. They've been great to, we get to worry about software. They worry about law and business and paperwork and stuff. The goal of Sugar is to give every child an opportunity to learn to learn. And so what we're doing is we think that getting access to computing is great, but getting access to computing where the software is really focused on learning is even better. And so the way we're doing it is we've got a free software platform that facilitates exploring the world, being expressive with what you learn, and then reflecting on what you've learned. And so we've built into Sugar exploration, expression, and reflection. Those are sort of the pillars of the Sugar software platform. Sugar's right now in the hands of almost 1 million children around the world. So this is, even though this is still sort of the beta version of Sugar on a Stick, it's pretty well tested. And kids have been using it now for a couple of years in the field, in schools. We didn't wake up. I come from MIT, and we started this organization called One Laptop Per Child that made these little green laptops. But it wasn't that we just sort of woke up one day and said, we're going to make laptops for kids. This is something that we've been working on for 40 years. So my colleague, Seymour Papert, who's in the picture here, this is actually Senegal, 1983. It was the first time we did a one-to-one immersion in a school. We actually did Senegal, Pakistan, and Colombia in 1983. But even that was not the start of this effort. Seymour was studying with Piaget in Geneva in the early 60s. He used to fly to London to get computer time because he had this insight that computation was a wonderful thing to think with, and he wanted to get kids thinking and learning. This is one of the OLPC deployments in Thailand. I love this picture because it makes a point that computation is not just something you do in a lab, but it's something that's part of life. It's in vivo. It's out there. The kids are inventing the use of the machine. We're just giving them the platform, the building blocks. Let me move my cursor out of the way. These are some of the people that inspired us in terms of the pedagogy. And the question that I like to pose is what kind of society do we want? It's nothing wrong with giving everybody an iPod so they can listen to music. But who's going to write the music? Who's going to create the music? And so we want to, with Sugar, we give you the ability to explore and download and consume, but at the same time, we complement that with the ability to create and express. Yeah?
Did you put John Dewey first because you knew he was a native Vermonter?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, I put him first because he deserves to be first, regardless of where he's from. I didn't know he was from Burlington, but he's right up there.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. And that was sort of a debate whether Piaget or Paulo Freire should be second, but in any case, the idea here is that we don't just give kids and teachers and anybody a way to play music. We give them a synthesizer so they can make music too. So it's not either or, it's both. And so the idea is we want people to be creators, not just consumers. I apologize. My little turtle progress bar is not quite calibrated right. I'm running this Sugar sort of adapts to the screen size, but Turtle Art is this is at 800 by 600, which is a lower resolution than I thought. Anyway, Just a little bit of fun here. This is from Michael Barber, The Learning Game. The teacher says, "What are you doing?" The student says, "I'm thinking." Teacher says, "Fine, but get back to work." And you know, what we're trying to do with sugar is have thinking be part of what really is going on, what's valued. And actually, one of the problems we have, especially I'm from Massachusetts, with our the MCAS, which are just finishing up this week. We tend to value what we can measure instead of measure what we value. And so one of the goals with sugar is to come up with ways of letting us begin to measure things we value as well. I'm pleased to hear that in New Hampshire they have a portfolio mandate in the schools. I don't think they have it in Vermont. They don't have it in Massachusetts yet. But that's one way to sort of look at a little bit more deeply at what the child's actually learning, not just what they know. Again, convention is that teachers tell students, listen, and the goal of school is to accumulate little objects of knowledge. And if you accumulate enough of them, you're educated. We're interested in unleashing the teacher and the learner and everyone. A lot of learning happens from teaching, and so letting the children be part of that process is important. And knowing is doing. Knowing is the appropriation of knowledge, not just the accumulation of knowledge. When you appropriate it, you've used it. You're doing something. And so with sugar, we're really thinking about information being the noun and learning being the verb. And if you learn through doing, and Dewey certainly believed in that, and you want more learning, you want more doing. So again, one of the things we do with sugar is try to encourage more doing. And then finally, love is a better master than duty. Whatever is going to drive you to do, that's what you should do. It doesn't matter what the content is. We let the content be determined by the teacher, by the kid, by the school. And again, one of the challenges we have and one of the opportunities we have, I like to use this analogy of low shelf versus high shelf. Low shelf are the things that are easily within reach, and high shelf are the things we have to reach for. But we've got a generation of children coming into school that have a very different low shelf than we had. And the idea that, you know, my favorite definition of technology comes from Alan Kay: anything invented after you were born. Okay. Right. But, you know, so computers aren't technology to you. It's just stuff. And we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of that which is low shelf. But at the same time, we want to encourage, we want to teach children how to reach to the high shelf. So one of the goals of sugar is to make it, you know, sort of easy to get started, but we also want to have the kids get to stretch and reach. So we have this idea of low floor, no ceiling. And I'm going to explain a little bit about how that works technically in a few minutes. This is FOSS Vermont. It's not just Computing Vermont. And I want to say a little bit about free software because I think it's important. In my mind, you can draw a line in the sand. And there are two places where unequivocally you need to have free software. One of them is voting machines. And the other is learning, education. Because in case of voting machines, if you actually want to really know that it's a fair vote, if it's a black box, you'll never know. It has to be free. It's got to be open. And in the case of learning, the whole idea is to let the kids in and let them see and explore. And the idea that so much of our world now is black boxes, we have to let them inside those boxes. So it unequivocally, voting machines and learning have to be free. We can argue about anything else. But there's more to it than that. And that is that it just crashed on me. Oh. Unbelievable. That's not supposed to happen. It really crashed on me.
It heard you say running
machine. Huh. Sorry, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
And on Tux, the irony of that must not
be. Yeah, this is.
All right. No, he crashed.
I crashed X. Yeah, somehow X got locked. I don't know.
That's never happened.
No.
X is not the...
Well, the good thing is that if I was running Windows, it would never crash. Yeah, so if you can't fix it unless you can break it first, right?
Actually, this is so are you do you start OLPC now on top of Ubuntu?
In this particular case. In fact, actually, I think the right way for a teacher is to sort of have sugar running inside of a window in Ubuntu or whatever versus, you know, just native. I think we can talk about that.
I'm fascinated. I'm happy you actually crashed because I want to see this.
So I'm actually doing it in a clumsier way because I'm a developer, but it doesn't have to be quite this awkward.
I would never use the command line. It's against my religion.
Yep. Okay. So let's jump back in and get started here. Sorry about that. So, yeah. All right, now what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about the culture of free software, because it turns out there's something about the culture of free software that's also important, and that it's a culture of sharing, but it's also a culture of critique. And that culture of critique is part of what we want to achieve. We want children to be critical of ideas. So we want them to share, engage in discourse about what they're doing, and be critical of ideas. And that's part of the DNA of free software, and it's important. It actually matters. When they start using free software, that is part of what they get, is a culture of critique. So just one last, and I usually ask this question of developers, but I think it's important to ask it of anybody. When you think about a great learning moment in your life, so picture a great learning moment in your life, and I guarantee it wasn't listening to someone like me lecture at you. It was when you were trying to solve a problem that you were passionate about. That was a great learning moment. And unfortunately, when I ask engineers, okay, and they all register with that. I said, now let's design technology for learning for schools. They all think back to third grade. In my generation, it was a mimeograph machine. Let's use a computer to crank out worksheets even more efficiently than a mimeograph machine. So there's this complete disconnect between what we design for learning in school and what we know is a great learning moment. And so what we're trying to do is say, let's make learning be about problem solving, about the things we're passionate about. So now, just a little bit about sugar. Sugar is essentially it's an alternative to the desktop. The desktop that you're all familiar with, Windows, or those of you who use Mac or Linux, was invented in the 1970s at Xerox PARC, and they invented it for solving the problems of 1970s style office workers. Now, it's not clear to me that anything that 1970s office workers were doing is relevant to anybody today, but certainly it's not relevant to the future of our children. And so if you're going to design learning for children in school, you know, why not design to the problem instead of making the problem fit the technology of the 1970s? So what we try to do is make it be simple, but at the same time be able to use that simplicity to reach the complexity. We put an emphasis on collaboration, even though the only time in life where collaboration is called cheating is when you're in school. In the rest of your life, it's called being smart, being effective, being powerful. And then finally, reflection, because reflection is an important part of learning. So those are the three things we build into sugar. In terms of simplicity, this is TamTam, which is the music software, or one of the music software tools inside of sugar. And it's a nice example, because on the left, TamTam Mini, you click on a picture the keyboard becomes that instrument, you pound away, you're making music. And literally two-year-olds can use this. They can just walk up and use it with no instruction. But then you can graduate to Tam Tam Jam, where you have multiple voices, you're synchronized over the net with other laptops, and you have GarageBand, you're an orchestra. Tam Tam Edit is a sequencer, and you're composing music, you're laying down tracks. And then you go to the synthesizer lab because you want to design your own instruments. You're not satisfied with the, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 you can download off the web. And then there's more, because in every sugar activity, you can also, just by typing, by hitting the view source key, you get the source code of whatever it is you're running. So this is the source code to the program we're running right now. And I could, so if I was in the music program, I could go in to the source code for the music program and change it. Go in and edit C sound, which is the representation we use for music, in Sugar. Happens to be the same representation that the pros use for doing musical special effects in Hollywood. So we have literally in the same package, in the same interface, something a two-year-old can use and the same tools that the pros use.
Are you doing anything special to the Python compiler?
Nope. Nope.
Wow. Thank you.
This is
Python interpreter.
Nothing special there. Okay. This is TurtleArt. TurtleArt is the program I'm running right now to do this presentation. But it's also a logo programming environment. This was a third grader, but I've used TurtleArt with first graders. And the nice thing is that it's sort of it actually comes from the same code base as the Lego Mindstorms, as Micro Worlds, as Scratch. All those are all from the same group of people at the Media Lab at MIT originally. You can get into some really pretty wild graphics with pretty simple programs here. But one of the things that I tried to do with TurtleArt is I didn't want it to be sort of just a dead end. And so I've been exploring different ways in which you could use TurtleArt to reach into more complex environments. So one of the things you can do with TurtleArt is you can export your program into a traditional text-based Logo environment. So even though TurtleArt's a restricted grammar, Logo lets you do anything. So you can go from here, which is these little bricks you snap together, into a text-based Logo. Another thing you can do is you can go into Python, and you can extend TurtleArt by making little simple Python programs, so you can add little bricks to do new things. And you can also import into TurtleArt sensor data. So this is actually from Curitiba, Brazil. The kids like this video game called Dance Dance Revolution. But instead of just playing Dance Dance Revolution, they built their own Dance Dance Revolution machine. And it's really easy with these blocks. So it's the idea, again, simple to get in and get started, but you can reach as high as you want. Almost done. I already demonstrated ViewSource, but let me give you a little bit of the motivation. We took a lesson from the automotive industry. Now, not a good industry to be emulating these days, but nonetheless, back in the day, and some of you are old enough to remember when cars were designed to withstand any impact, so I could drive my car into a tree and nothing would happen to the car. Problem is, all that energy went into the driver or into the passenger. So the car industry, it took them probably 50 years to figure this out. So they finally figured out that people were more important than cars. And so they designed something called the crumple zone. So rather than making the car rigid, they had the car absorb the impact and the passenger was okay. So what we did with Sugar is we said, you know, we're not going to try to harden everything down so that nothing will ever break, because we know that's impossible. But also, what we want to do is we want to encourage children and teachers to explore. So rather than making it impossible to break, we made it really, really easy to restore. So to reflash Sugar just takes a few minutes. It all just fits in a teeny little footprint on a USB key, so that if you screw up, you just, you know, grab a new version. There's nothing lost. So the idea is to make the penalty for making a mistake very low, to encourage people to make mistakes, so because you're going to learn when you make the mistakes.
Where is, I'm assuming you're storing certain
Right. So what we do is we have the user data stored in this thing called the journal, the data store, and the operating system is all separate from that. So it's easy to sort of back up and restore. So the idea is to make that separation so if you screw up anything on the system, it doesn't matter. We also have, it's too much detail to go into now, but we actually have a lot of layers of protection so that you as you break things, you're not breaking things for other people. You're only breaking things for yourselves, for example. So let me talk just a little bit about the sharing model. Those of you who actually have Sugar up and running, if you hit the F1 key, you'll see a screen that looks a little bit like this. And what you're seeing are the other people. If you mouse over these people, you see, so Susan, hi Susan. And there's Jason, and so there Kathy's here. And Brendan's in the browser, sharing the browse activity. So I'll join him in the browser. So I clicked on the instance of the browser he shares. Now we're sharing the browser together. And if he bookmarks a page, I get that bookmark. So the idea is that we make it so. What I'll do over here is I'm gonna bookmark this page, and there's a bookmark, and Brendan should have it on his screen. So why don't you go somewhere and bookmark a page, Brendan? So. The network here is called, you want to connect to Lake Maury VT. Yeah. Okay, so what we do with Sugar is we've got the collaboration system such that it works. Well, there's two different things. One thing is, you know, downloading pages off the internet is going to be slow if your network's slow. I can't do anything about that.
Okay. Right. That's the question. How
do you keep? So let me explain. Let me go back to the presentation for a second and talk about this guy. So this is the write activity inside of Sugar. And right now, if I wanted to do something like peer editing in my classroom, I could do that by going to Google Docs and opening a document in Google Docs, writing something, sharing it. Somebody would get an email invitation. They'd go into their email, they'd click on it, they'd go to the Google Doc, and they could do peer editing with me. About 15 different steps, and it requires the internet, and it requires a pretty decent connection. With Sugar, because it's all centralized on a server in California or wherever. With Sugar, what we do is we do the collaboration locally. So that if I want to share, all I do is it's a single mouse click, and I'm sharing my document I'm writing. Somebody else clicks on it, they're in with me right there. And all the traffic stays local. It doesn't go out to the server.
On some local network.
It's on a local network, or if you're using something like this, it's peer-to-peer directly, so you don't need the network at all. So the idea is that if you've got, I mean, most schools, you could set up an access point that's not connected to the internet. That's all you need. So you don't need any. So the idea that the collaboration on the internet's great, but collaboration on the internet is expensive or unavailable or slow, so we make it be a desktop experience in Sugar instead. So it's all right here. And we do collaboration in just about everything. But I'll move on, because we're taking too much time on. Let me just talk a little bit about reflection. And that is that one of the things that we do with Sugar is we have a something called the journal or the diary. We record everything you do. We record all the things you make, and we also record all the actions you take to make them, so the nouns and the verbs. You never have to hit save. It always saves automatically. And you can go back and visit your journal. So if I go to my journal here, these are the things that I'm doing. I just was, seconds ago, I was giving a presentation called Falls, Vermont. And if I go into the journal, it'll show you exactly what page in the presentation I was on. There it is. We were just on the journal page in the presentation, because it's always keeping track of everything I do. Actually, back at Xerox in the 70s, they had two word processors. One word processor that had every feature, and one word processor that had one feature. It never lost more than two keystrokes of data. Guess which one everybody used? So the idea behind sugar is we're constantly keeping in your diary everything so you never lose it. But there's more. Okay, we use the diary both as a diary, but we also use the diary as a portfolio. So built into Sugar is a portfolio tool. And it's actually that very portfolio tool that I'm using to give my presentation right now. So what I do is I can go into the journal and pull out things that I think are important and make, and so I'm going to actually make, we're going to do a presentation in just a minute. As soon as I'm done with this presentation, we'll actually make a presentation and I'll show you how it works. But let me go back to Turtle Art. Turn off Alt-Tab there. We're back in here. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Sugar Labs and Sugar on a Stick. So, again, we started back in 2006, we decided we wanted to make laptops for kids for learning and make it be affordable, so we designed these. But then last year we decided that, you know, this is great, but this is just one place, one hardware manufacturer. We wanted the tools we were developing to be available to anybody on any platform. So we created Sugar Labs to make Sugar, the software, be available on any computer. And one of the things we did was we worked with all the various Linux distributions and laptop manufacturers so you can run Sugar on a variety of different machines. The other thing we did most recently was to put Sugar on a USB key. So you have this little USB key, and you can walk up to pretty much any computer. This is beta right now, and we need you to help us test it and debug it. But you can walk up to, well, most of the computers in this room now are running Sugar by just booting off of this USB key. So what you can do is you can go into the computer lab in the school, and even though you as a teacher aren't allowed to change anything on the computer lab, you just give each child a USB key with Sugar, they're using Sugar. They take the key home, they're using Sugar at home on their parents' computer. You know as a teacher, they have the same resource, every child, so you can actually take advantage of that when they're going home. So the idea, just put it all here. If they lose it, you just burn another one. It's $5. Yeah?
The media thing, can you get the same? Because Shuttleworth did this very effectively with Ubuntu on CDs.
Yeah.
Is that something you're also considering?
Well, so a couple of different things. Carolyn will help with this as well. But so this is just a generic USB key. You can just buy one at the 5 and 10 or whatever. We have the image that you download on the internet, so you download it if you want it. There will be people that are distributing these pre-loaded, because that'll make it easier for people. Some older computers won't boot off of CD. I mean, boot off of USB. So what we do is we have a CD. You put the CD in, and that boots the computer and tells it to boot off the USB. So this is a little helper CD. So all of this stuff, all the software is free software. It's all freely available to download from the internet. But what we're trying to do is we're also trying to build an ecosystem of support around it. And that's where people like Carolyn and Solution Grove come in. So Sugar is a big free software program. We're a 100% volunteer organization. There are a couple of thousand people working on it around the world. There are almost a million kids using it. And you guys should use it too. It solves a lot of problems. It's easy. It's self-contained. And you don't have to ask permission. You can do it yourself. So we should spend the rest of the time playing with Sugar, and I can also be answering questions, and Carolyn can be answering questions. But let's get you guys, everybody, maybe like jump into Turtle Art, and I'll show you. Actually, let me do a quick demo of how you use Turtle Art to make a presentation. So I'm back in the journal. You can see that it kept track of where I was. But I'm going to start. I'm going to start a fresh instance of Turtle Art.
No, not online.
And in Turtle Art, all you do is you click on one of these bricks, and then the turtle goes forward. Turtle turns right. If I connect them together, now the turtle goes forward and then right. And I can make a little loop, so repeat four. And now it'll go four times. Let me erase the screen first. And now let's get a little bit fancier, just because it's kind of fun. Let's change the color of the pen. We're going to make the color of the pen be based on the direction, the heading of the turtle. And now we're going to get a little bit fancier. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, instead of going right 90 degrees each time, I'm going to go 91 degrees each time. And instead of going around four times, I'll go 360 times. And what do you think is going to happen? Ooh. Okay. Now let's get even a little bit fancier. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use a variable. I'm going to store inside a box 1. 100. And now I'm going to repeat whatever is in box 1. And it's going to be the same thing. It doesn't change. But now what I'm going to do is each time through, I'm going to change the value of what's in box 1 by adding to box 1, 1. Oops. Now what's going to happen is we get that. Isn't that kind of cool? And we're going to go do it in slow motion, you see. You'll watch it go.
This is interpreted.
Yeah, this is all interpreted in real time. And we're going to start, I want to start with a smaller number there, and I'm going to do one other change just because I think it makes it prettier. So we'll set the, we'll use a fatter pen. So I'll click that on there, and here we go. Oh, what's going on here? So that's kind of fun. So very quickly, you can make pretty neat things. But now what I'm going to do is we're going to make a presentation. So let me erase the screen here. And I want to make a little slideshow. So all I do is I pull out one of these little slides, just like a little PowerPoint template. And I'm going to click on this, and I'm going to grab an image. I'm going to grab a picture out of my journal. So I happen to have that nice picture of Thailand I have here. And we'll call this slide Thailand. And now I have a Thailand slide. And if I hide the blocks. So that's all I have to do to make a slide. So the idea of just pulling something out of my journal that's important to me, and I can make a presentation from it, and I can get a little bit fancier, and I can say, well, let's make more than one slide. We want a slideshow. And in this case, I'm going to do put a little pause between our slides, and we'll clear the screen between our slides. And I need to load something here. And here I'll put Seymour. And we'll call this Seymour. And now I'm just going to do one more thing, which is I'm going to tell it to hide everything before I start. So there's my first slide, and it's waiting, and that's my second slide. So I can make a little slideshow. Pretty easy. So the idea is that the kids can use sort of a PowerPoint-like thing, but they also can program their PowerPoint. So they can use it, and then those who want to get a little bit deeper. So the program, I was showing before in my slides, a turtle was marching across the screen as my progress bar. That was just a little turtle art program. Just increment the value in the box by one with each slide, and it made the turtle march across the screen. So idea is to let them have PowerPoint, but also let them have the ability to reach inside and change it and program it and do more. Low floor, no ceiling. One last analogy. The difference between giving you a PDF and a wiki. If I give you a PDF, you can read it. If I give you a wiki, you can read it. But if I give you a PDF, the chances are you're not going to write margin notes because PDF doesn't support that. If I give you a wiki, you can write margin notes, you can share them with other people, you can engage in a critical dialogue. So the affordances, the hooks that we have in the software make a difference in terms of the kinds of things you're going to do. So with Sugar, we're not telling you you have to do these things, but we're giving you the affordances so you can begin to explore on your own. So you can use it in a conventional way, but you can also reach further. So anyway, let's play with Sugar. You guys all have it on your laptop, so let's just start hacking Turtle Art.
Unlike the third world, say Senegal or Thailand or Darfur, Barrie, Vermont has no access to new technology, but massive access to old technology, because we are basically a giant dumping ground for old technology. What's your performance? You understand?
Yeah.
I'm trying to educate children.
We're trying to figure out how far we can push this. So actually, Carolyn and I are going to be doing
it. I've got just the place.
Yeah. But here, why don't you?
So basically, this project started with a colleague of mine at the Harvard Graduate School of Education who was actually a IT person from the Boston Public Schools. And she lived in the world where every classroom had two computers and they were completely unusable because they were old and they were full of viruses and slow. So the concept of putting this on so you bypass what you already have there and booting up your old technology. What can we think? We think we can make it work. Definitely Pentium 4 with over 500 memory definitely will work. But we're going to try to keep moving it down.
Well,
we haven't had to work 256 yet, but we think we can because those are 256.
Yeah, these are 256, and they're maybe not much more than a Pentium 4 inside.
But the concept is to give kids who...
That's what I run.
Yeah,
I run a
right.
Teen center.
Right. Yeah. So you're probably going to have to use a CD to boot it.
Yep.
Because probably your machine doesn't...
Directly from my teen center to prison.
Right.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
Much how it works.
Yeah. Okay. So let's try it. Yeah. Right. So we've the Sugar on a Stick is pretty new and it's sort of in beta. But running Sugar natively on a laptop or on a netbook is something that's well established already. That just works. So I'm running right now on the Classmate. I'm running Sugar on a Stick, but I also can run Sugar natively on the Classmate. I can run Sugar natively on any of the netbooks that are in this room. And you can choose which version of Linux you want. You don't have to use Fedora. You can use Ubuntu, Debian, SUSE, Mandriva, KMagica, Alt Linux, Gentoo. So all those... we're working with all the Linux distributors so that you can just get Sugar directly on the machine. You can also run it in Parallels or VirtualBox on your Macintosh, and we're trying to make it easier to boot right on the Macintosh. And we're eventually going to have a version that runs natively inside of Windows, but right now you're running it as an emulator inside of Windows. But so all those opportunities are already there. This is sort of the new stuff, because this is what's going to let us take advantage of the installed base, the old things. And it also is again, in Maine, where every child's getting something, that's great. And if you can afford it, do it. But in the situation where you can't, you probably can still afford to give every child one of these. And they, if they go to the library or the internet cafe or if their parents do have a machine at home, they'll all have the same experience, so the teacher can begin to actually build around that experience as opposed to saying it only happens. Right.
They're expecting us to take it out of our technology allotment.
Right.
Okay? Which we've already spent. And so several school districts, especially the more progressive ones, it's kind of a unique situation because in Maine, it's now in this new cycle, it's the haves that can't afford the laptop. It's the schools that don't get any state subsidies.
Right.
They have to pay for it out of their pockets. So they're looking into with other vendors, doing the network
stuff.
I could see especially at the lower level, or even at the high school level, but
I like
Sidron
there. So along those lines, so there's a middle school in Boston, the Frederick Pilot School in Dorchester, that is doing, it's one of the few one-to-one laptop programs in Massachusetts. That neighborhood is the highest crime district neighborhood in all of Massachusetts. And the kids don't bring the laptops home. But what they did was they wanted the kids to have access to computing at home, and they wanted the parents to have access to computing at home. So they started a subsidized netbook program. So the parents get netbooks. The parents come to school to learn how to use the netbooks. The kids show them how. So the idea that you can bridge the gap, netbooks, I think, are going to be one of those bridges that we can take advantage of that way. It's been a nice program. It's one to take a look at. Other questions? How are people doing with sugar? All right.
Do you know a guy at MIT Media Lab called Neil?
Neil Gershenfeld.
Do you know Neil?
I know Neil. I've known Neil since he was a pup.
Because the Python thing, I mean, when does this talk to the Fab Lab?
And get
Kraken, man.
Yeah, well, Neil's the smartest person on the planet.
No,
and if you're the smartest person on the planet, there's no percentage of listening to anybody else.
No, I
can't. So you'll have to do it. You'll have to show him the way. Do it yourself.
But I mean, it's doable. The architecture.
Yeah, yeah. No, piece of cake. But waiting for Neil to do it. Just do it yourself. It's not that big a deal.
I'm trying to.
You can do it through Turtle Art with the sensors. Sensor input from Turtle Art will do it for you.
I gotta get my clammy little hands on this little Fab Lab.
Yeah. Well. Fab Lab is fabulous, but there's a lot of things you can do short of Fab Lab. So check out.
I hurt my thumb with the nail gun.
Well, I got high on the mimeograph machine.
No, I'm really very impressed. Thank you for this presentation.
Sure.
What does the keyboard thing do? Is Brendan's trying to figure out?
I'm not. Is he doing the typing tutor?
I don't know what he's doing. Keyboard thing.
Let me see. Brendan's always trouble. So.
Oh yeah, Brendan. Well, yeah, that's.
He's got. He's typing in Python. That brick lets you type Python in directly.
Oh, you don't want to do that, Brendan.
Yeah, sure you can. So if you want to add a sine function, or if you want to do.
No, because it's not Visual Basic. You won't want to do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That. It's only Python or Logo in that particular brick. Right in that little yellow square. Type Python.
You just type the word Python.
No. Just type in here. I'll just.
Can you share him or?
Here. Somebody else take the. Here. You take Mr. Mike.
Here.
So let's do this. So.
The mic.
So all we're going to do is just type, say, sine of X. Okay. So you don't want. Oh, you don't want the keyboard.
Wondering what the Python stuff's doing with the keyboard stuff.
Right, so let's use, sine of X, let's put a number here.
I'm still getting this girl.
If you want to push the keyboard, you just push the keyboard. You don't need the to do anything to the keyboard. But let's get, here. So this is just, so now if I print this, well, sine of X, but let's do...
Walter, you really got it, okay?
5, 9.
Even if you can't
should be 0 in theory. Yeah, well, close to zero. And if we say, let's do this. Let's take pi over 2.
Well,
that
was really interesting
be...
in the keyboard.
Oh, all right. Well, too bad.
He just wanted to know what it did. Good for him. Now he knows.
So now we'll make it pi over 2, and pi over 2 is about 1 little rounding error here. And if you write, you know, so now you can do things like, you know, make the turtle go.
Brendan's gone into REM. He's great.
All right, so let's make it, we'll make it go forward based on the sine times 100. And, but anyway, you can write little programs like that. Now, the keyboard, basically, what I typically do with a keyboard is I write a little loop where I do a poll. So I just, forever, I query the keyboard, and when I query the keyboard, that pushes the value onto the stack, and then I do a little
value, the numerical value for the key push.
Holy Leo Brody, Batman! We're talking stacks here.
Well, we have yeah. Well,
we're not RPN yet, are we? all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I actually need to make this a little bit simpler for people. Okay, so if we have this.
Yep.
Greater than...
How many people can I make a fourth joke to, though? You know,
well, you know, on the laptop, you get fourth for free. On the old PC laptop.
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know you had a fourth.
Yeah, fourth. There's a fourth interpreter. That's our bootloader.
Oh, that, you know who did that? Sun originally did that.
Yeah, well, the
back
guy,
in the day.
Mitch Bradley from Sun, did it for PC. Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah. No, Mitch is great.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I used those over at Army Research Lab. That was so cool.
Yeah. So anyway, that's your keyboard loop. And if we do, so what you do typically is you'll make that be a little stack. And then you do something where you... Yeah, maybe have
all right, you've rubbed antennas enough with Walter, with Brendan. You have to go rub antennas with some of the other people. I'm calling time out.
Got it.
Cool.
All right, here's your microphone. Thank you. All right, now I can learn from Brendan.
Thank you. All right, look at that. Cool.
What did you do?
That's a tough puzzle. Yeah, so you're in the journal. And the church object chooser, okay. What program were you running from?
Turtle.
Oh, from Turtle, okay. So basically anything you pick here, what it's going to do is in the journal there's a preview picture that it keeps, and that's what will show up in the Turtle.
Can I ask my local files?
You can access them through the terminal. And you can import them into Sugar using Copy to Journal. But typically what we do is we... So open up... If you're running off of here, you don't have any access to your hard drive. Or you do. You in the journal, you might.
I do see it.
Okay. Go
I mean, look,
here.
It's right there.
Okay, yeah. So click on it. And it should give you... It'll give you...
It doesn't
give you anything.
Maybe because it's Windows.
Actually, the model is that you would use an external USB and stick it in there. Yeah, yeah. But that's actually something we haven't really completely resolved yet.
So I can put anything that I've made.
Yeah.
I can put the terminal activity.
Yeah. So open the terminal activity and see if you can get to the file system.
Yeah, this is
the file system. From there, you can type copy to journal and give it the...
Just say copy to journal.
Type copy, underbar, C-O-P-Y, and then hit tab for... it should give you... So here's copy to journal.
Okay. And then you choose a file?
And then you choose a file, and you can give it a... But actually, if you type this, it'll give you the usage.
Uh-huh.
So you probably want to also give it a MIME type when you
what
do it.
You type for that?
You would type like image/jpg.
Well, what did you get to get this information?
Oh, I just hit copy to journal, carriage return, and it gives you that information.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. You guys making any headway here?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Great. Well, great. Well, yeah, exactly.
we've been playing.
Oh, so you've just been trying the different...
We don't get very far, unfortunately. Yeah. And my wireless isn't on.
Oh, your wireless isn't working. Yeah. Okay. So this is a small talk environment that was written by Alan Kay. It's actually, you know, there's lots of tutorials in it. This is really pretty neat. There's all, a lot of different things in here. You can get lost. Smalltalk's a programming environment.
Okay.
So it's just like, you know, like Python or BASIC or C. Smalltalk is another. It's actually a pretty neat programming language. And this is an environment that tries to make a graphical interface to Smalltalk, sort of like the way Turtle Art does. It's sort of more geared towards older kids, though. It's a little bit harder to get started on, but it's inside of eToys, you can do anything. I mean, there's physics simulators in there. There's all sorts of cool math stuff. It really a much richer set of presentation tools. And
Can you download?
Yeah, so we have, in fact, let me put the site up on
Thank
the,
you.
Yeah. Uh-oh, view.
You can just
that, browse.